This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Witness history this year at the French Open, where old rivalries meet new talent on the clay battleground. Tennis Channel Plus is your place to watch it. Stream every court from your phone or smart TV live in HD. It's 3 weeks of unparalleled access as the world's top players in tennis face off. We'll see if the veterans maintain their dominance or if fresh faces rise to the challenge. Daily live coverage begins Monday, May 20th. Stream it now with Tennis Channel Plus to be there when it all goes down. Welcome, everyone, to Monday Match Analysis. I'm Gil Gross, and it is time for a preview of the 2024 Rome Masters, one of my favorite tournaments of the year. Great courts, great atmospheres, Roland Garros right around the corner. Everything feels important. Tension is building. It's one of my favorite Masters 1000s, there's no doubt about it, and I think I'd get a lot of agreement there. Now, traditionally, historically, this has been a favorites tournament. I mean, Nadal and Djokovic, particularly Novak, has really ramped up the consistency in his results when it comes to Rome compared to the other clay court tournaments in the lead-up to RG. You look at last year, and yes, there was a surprise champion in Daniil Medvedev given his clay court resume, but it was all top eight seeds. And I feel like that is what we have come to expect out of Rome, where top players have really dialed in their games in preparation for Paris. And you're just not going to get some of the more wild, unpredictable stuff that you do at Monte Carlo in Madrid. But that is to say, you look at the state of the top contenders right now, and it's hard to imagine a world in which we do have like a chalky normal Rome with all the usual suspects in the final weekend. No Sinner, no Alcaraz, they both withdrew due to their injuries. Medvedev is coming off of a retirement to defend his title. Rublev just fought through a title run sick as a dog, so now he's kind of trying to rebound and keep going after that. Not easy to do. Plus you have Rude and Djokovic, who certainly you'd put as top contenders. You have them in the same quarter. So one of them isn't going to make the semifinal by definition. That's going to open stuff up. Like, it just is. So I think it's going to be another Rome where you're going to have opportunity for guys to find themselves in a semifinal that maybe before the season you wouldn't have expected them to be there. And certainly my predictions are going to reflect that, because that's just how things, I believe, are going to shake out. All right? If you are new to the channel, I will give a dark horse, which is an unseeded, and I always like to define this even for those who are not new to the channel, because I often see people in the comments suggesting that seeded players be my dark horse. This is impossible. Against the rules. Must be unseeded. Unseeded player who's most likely to make a run, that's your dark horse. Upset alert. Must be a seeded player who I think is most likely to lose early. Sometimes it's nothing but wrong answers. If all the seeded players win their first matches, then there's just no upset alert. But I'm always going to try to pick one. Early popcorn match is a early match, either first or second round, that in my opinion is particularly intriguing. And then I'll give you quarterfinal predictions as well. Let's get to it. Beginning with Novak Djokovic's quarter, the number one seed who skipped Madrid and is back. His top seeds are Rude, Shelton, Khachanov, Mannarino, Cerundolo, Tabilo, and Thompson. My dark horse in this quarter is Fabian Marojan. My upset alert is Adrian Mannarino, and I could not find an early popcorn in good faith. All of the options just felt like a force. But let me start with Marojan. He is Mr. Masters 1000 early on in his career. His record is now 15-5. Second round loss in Madrid last week. That felt like a disappointment because of all of the Masters 1000 runs that Marajan has been seemingly making. And it all started last year here in Rome. He beat Carlos Alcaraz. He made, I believe, if my memory serves, the round of 16 last year in Rome. And you look at what he's done at this level. He's done it in quick conditions and slow conditions. You can't really even pinpoint one or the other. It hasn't really mattered. But on clay, that's where I like his drop shots the most. His combination of power ground strokes where he's taking the ball early, he's hitting big, he's pushing you back, and then he's hitting drop shots. That's something that I think is going to just be most effective on clay. He's got Alexander Shevchenko first round. Alex isn't playing great. And then his seed is Karen Khachanov. I feel like breaking up the rhythm, which is something that is a feature of Fabian's game, I think that that's a really important thing to do against Khachanov when you're trying to upset him. So that's why I got to Fabian, who, by the way, is really close. I think he's inside the top 40, so he's really close to actually being a seed anyway. And I think he's the most dangerous unseeded player in this quarter. Upset alert is Adrian Mannarino. This is a boring pick by me. I apologize for that, but I didn't really love the other choices. Mannarino just lost 6-2, 6-2 to Richard Gasquet in Aix-en-Provence in the challenger that he played second week of Madrid, which kind of gives you an idea. I mean, despite Mannarino's career renaissance, clay is still not happening for the Frenchman. He is, without a doubt, one of the most surface-dependent players on tour. So that brings me to my quarterfinal prediction in Novak Djokovic's quarter. And this was a tough one for me. I'm going Djokovic defeats Ruud. Not going to lie, I am upset that they put Djokovic and Ruud in the same quarter because they're two guys who I wanted to push very, very deep at this tournament. And when this, you know, when the draw plays out like this, it obviously makes that impossible. Ruud is winning about 80% of his matches this season. That's typically like a top five clip. He's made three straight semifinals in Rome. So these are conditions that work for him. Even when he was struggling last year, he kind of got out of the rut in Rome. And I even think highly of the fact that he put in a decent showing last week in Madrid when he had every right to be exhausted, and he has every right to not prefer those conditions compared to the slower clay. And he still won a couple of matches. So I'm feeling really good about Casper. Djokovic, on the other hand, he played better than I thought he would in Monte Carlo, making that semifinal run and ultimately losing to Ruud. He skipped Madrid strategically, and he started working with his old physio, the physio that he worked with from 2009 all the way up until 2019. And I like that. I just, look, you don't really know what's happening behind the scenes, but I think that's a sign that he's been grinding, that he's been kind of trying to get back to full physical fitness. Not that the physio that he's worked with the last couple of years isn't capable of getting him there, but the fact that he decided to make a change in that area and kind of went throwback, something about that I really like. He's made four straight Rome finals up until last year when he lost in the quarters to Runa. He has made 12 Rome finals in his career. This is easily one of his best events on the calendar, historically speaking. So between Ruud and Djokovic is a tough one, but ultimately, I can't pick Ruud if I think Djokovic is going to be back to his best tennis. And that's ultimately what I think it's going to be. So it mostly came down to that. I also think it's difficult to beat someone two times in a row, particularly when you don't have some sort of clear matchup advantage, which I think it's safe to say that Ruud does not over Djokovic. But what typically happens when you beat an opponent like Novak is he's going to go back, he's going to look at what happened, he's going to make some adjustments. Casper Ruud is going to make absolutely zero adjustments because he's going to be like, I got to do the exact same thing because it worked. But typically, in any sort of close competitive head-to-head, that is kind of advantage to the player who just lost. I'm going Djokovic. Let's go to Zverev's quarter. Zverev is the 3 seed. Let me get a sip of water. He's got Dimitrov, Fritz, Bublik, Griekspoor, Korda, Musetti, and Navone. Congratulations to Mariano Navone for being seeded. That didn't take very long. I feel like he just showed up in February for the first time. But man, he's played awesome tennis and he's already seeded, and he's going to be seeded at Roland Garros. My dark horse here is Denis Shapovalov. My upset alert is Alexander Bublik. And my early popcorn is Diego Schwartzman. Not a matchup, just the player. I'll explain why in a moment. But let's start with Shapo. He won a couple of matches in Madrid. He beat Diaz Acosta and Tomas Martín Echeverri. I really respect both of those wins even in altitude clay. I think that's quality. So there might be a little more belief coming into this week, and he's entering an event which, surprisingly, and before I looked, I remembered some of his signature wins in Rome, particularly the fact that he's beaten Nadal here. But when you really look at his resume, I didn't realize it was so good. Like, I don't know if it's the balls or if it's or exactly what it is, but he's played his best tennis in Rome consistently, hasn't lost to a player outside the top 10 in any Rome appearance other than 2020, when he lost to Diego Schwartzman, who made the Rome final that year, who made the Roland Garros semifinal a couple weeks later. I mean, Schwartzman was like probably the fourth or fifth best clay court player in the world that year. And then like all of Shapo's other Rome defeats are to like Ruud and Nadal and Djokovic. You get the point. Like, it's just been a really impressive full picture for Shapovalov. And look, like, his flaws are plentiful as a player. They are. But he should not be struggling as much as he has had recently, if healthy. His weapons are just too big. And like, I always expect inconsistency out of Shapovalov, but I also expect him to make a run sometimes. And that's the part that's been missing. And I feel like at some point, as long as his knees are healthy, that's going to turn around. Upset alert is Alexander Bublik. This is another pick where it's like, all right, you know, you pick the guy who doesn't like clay. Yeah. Madrid is always Bublik's best chance on clay, and he had a solid week. I just don't know, with that in mind, that he'll be all that motivated to play here. Even though, and this is the one area where I hesitate, I've seen Bublik play in Rome before, and the crowd adores him. You'd think he's Italian. So, you know, he does get that lift, but still, I have a lot of respect for whoever he needs to play in his first match. It's going to be either Pedro Martinez, who showed a lot of flashes of really good stuff early on in the clay court season, or Nuno Borges, who I prefer on quicker surfaces, but in my estimation is still like a top 50 player. So Bublik was my pick for upset alert here. Popcorn Diego Schwartzman. He has announced, El Peque, that he's going to play the rest of this year and then retire next February in Buenos Aires. He's going to play as much as he possibly can. And, you know, the ranking is at a point where it's difficult for him to get into all the events that he wants to get into. I'm sure there's going to be some wild cards for him, but I'm sure he'll be playing qualifying a lot. Here in Rome, he qualified. I am not all that convinced by the victories that he had, you know, got under his belt in the two rounds of qualifying, but still, that's a really positive sign to see. And I think this announcement could do a couple of things. First of all, it could relieve some of the pressure that he may have been feeling to kind of get his career back on track. Another thing it could be doing, and I don't know if it's been hard for Schwartzman to motivate himself to put in the work physically, but I think that's what happened to Ferrer at a certain point, where he couldn't maintain the fitness that he had in his prime. I think he just got super tired of it. But then when he announced his retirement, and you know, when you see the light at the end of the tunnel, it's easier to kind of push for that last stretch. So So those are reasons why, and I don't know if it's going to happen, but those are reasons why maybe Schwartzman will see an uptick in results following this retirement announcement, a la Danielle Collins. I don't think he's going to be winning Masters 1000s, but you know what I mean. He's got Alex Vukic in the first round. Vukic is a tough guy, but he doesn't love clay. So I do think there's a chance for Schwartzman to win that match and then play Zverev, which would be a lot of fun. I'd love to see Zverev-Schwartzman. And that is why Diego Schwartzman is my popcorn. All right, quarterfinal pick. You know, Zverev's been struggling. You know, this is slow stuff for Dimitrov, who hasn't really gotten it going. He also has to play, you know, Musetti is in Dimitrov's section. That's a tough one. So where am I going to go here? This was not an easy quarter for me to pick. And I ended up going Taylor Fritz defeats Alexander Zverev. All right, let's talk through this with Fritz, because it mostly came down to, now he's in good form, don't get me wrong, and he's made clay Masters 1000 semifinals in back-to-back years now, did it last week in Madrid, but I didn't expect to be picking him here in Rome. You know, it's not as if Fritz is playing such scintillating tennis or that his game is so well suited to the Rome clay that I came into this thinking that I might pick him. However, just going through it, I ended up getting there. Partially because I'm pretty torn on Musetti versus Dimitrov, and I'm much less torn on Fritz getting out of his section where his top seed is Sebastian Korda, and you know the unseeded players are Dan Evans, Fabio Fognini, Max Marderer, and Flavio Cabolli. Like, I'm pretty confident Fritz gets out of that. Whereas, you know, Dimitrov, Musetti, I don't know, you have Terence Ottmann in there as well, who qualified, who I kind of have an eye on. You know, it's a lot more shaky for me. You know, plus Rome is Grigor's worst Masters 1000 by win percentage. Of the nine, it's his worst. Obviously, Lorenzo Musetti beat Fritz in Monte Carlo, but I think that Taylor was a different player at that point. His game was just not clicking, and he didn't have his forehand. I think he's in better, you know, he's in a better spot now. And in general, I trust him more than Musetti as a match player in general. And Musetti's kind of a different animal in Monte Carlo, right? Like, I bump him up several points in Monte Carlo. So I kind of go with Fritz there no matter what. And then when it comes to Zverev, who has an awesome draw, like Zverev has a beautiful path to the quarterfinal. You know, Mariana Nivone is the most interesting guy to me. And, you know, I do take him seriously. I take his chances seriously. But then you have Bublik doesn't like clay. Griekspoor doesn't like slow clay. And then, you know, you don't really have any unseeded guys who pop off the page. Fritz has shown time and time again, he knows how to break down Alexander Zverev's forehand. He knows how to do it. And he's fine going toe-to-toe with Sasha on the backhand. And he returns his serve really well also. Taylor Fritz is 3-2 against Zverev in their last five matches. And Sasha has kind of lost some effectiveness since getting off of the hard courts this year, which in one way surprises me because Zverev historically is excellent on clay. But on another hand, it doesn't surprise me because I just feel like he, you know, the first couple months of the season, or 3 months of the season, I felt it was a little serve reliant by Zverev. Like, I didn't love the way he was playing from the back of the court. So in that sense, it makes sense that coming onto the clay where his serve is going to be less effective, you know, Zverev might struggle a little bit. So, hey, you know, Taylor, I put him through because of all those reasons. He's got a bad record in Rome, but sometimes you just got to look past that. And nobody ever gets excited about Fritz. And I get why. Like, he's obviously got it. There's a cap. There's a ceiling on what he's able to do because of his athleticism. But he's going to serve well. He's going to hit big forehands. He's going to keep the errors down. He's going to put returns in play. And he's going to attack weaknesses because he has every ground stroke to every direction. So if you have a weak backhand, he knows how to get it there. If you have a weak forehand, he's going to get it there off of both wings. You know what I mean? Like, there's just so much to like about Fritz's game. I just feel like he doesn't get any respect. All right, rant over. Let's go to Andrei Rublev's quarter. He's the number four seed. He's got Tsitsipas, Demonor, Umber, FAA, Jari, Nori, and Fis. My dark horse here is Matteo Arnaldi. My upset alert is Andrei Rublev. My early popcorn is Tsitsipas versus Struff in the second.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Round. I'm really thirsty. I played tennis. I just had like pizza and pasta afterwards. Oh man, a lot of salt in that meal. So I'm thirsty as heck. All right, dark horse. First of all, there's a really big opportunity in the bottom section of this quarter. I want to start with that. Jari is on a losing streak. Umber on slow clay, I actually think is like decent now. It used to be like, okay, he's not going to win a match. I think he's decent now, but he's not, I don't think he's much better than decent. Fis hasn't made a run since January. Arnaldi, so I'm looking at that section. I'm thinking, if those are the seeds, you know, you have a chance here in that section. Arnaldi, in my opinion, is the best unseeded player who has the best chance to take advantage of that. He has been solid recently, not great, but if he can manage his emotions, you know, he's playing in Rome. I'm a little bit concerned about how excited and amped up he's going to get, because he's already somebody who loves tennis a lot, and it comes through, and I think he can kind of come out of the gates and overhit because he's just excited to be out there. As long as he can kind of control himself, you know, I always like his upside. He doesn't have any spot serving at this point in time, but pretty much everything else about his game I feel like is there, other than also just shot selection and consistency. But yeah, other than those two things, I like Matteo Arnaldi, and I can continue to look for him to, at certain points this year, kind of put it together and threaten to make some runs. My upset alert is Andrei Rublev, and I kind of hit on it at the top, but if he, you know, was as sick as he says he was, which obviously we fully believe him, you know, he got through Madrid on adrenaline and on heavy medication and shots. That catches up with you at a certain point. Like, I wouldn't be shocked if he pulls out either, but all I'm saying is that catches up with you. It'll probably catch up with Rublev. I don't think I need to go much further than that. I mean, I'll tell you who he may play early on, which is the winner of Emil Roussevori and Marcos Giron. You know, kind of flat hitters who are a little bit neutralized on the clay for that reason. But, you know, Roussevori, they're also both good players. So, I don't know. I wouldn't expect a run out of Rublev. I think he'll hit a wall. Popcorn, Struff versus Tsitsipas. Jan Lennard Struff, 8-2 on clay this year. Tsitsipas, back-to-back finals to start the clay season, and then stumbled against Thiago Montero in the first round of Madrid. Montero, he does have a big serve and a big forehand, and, you know, I think in altitude he used those things well against Tsitsipas, who doesn't always love to deal with big weapons in quick conditions. Stylistically, speaking of which, Struff serves well enough to challenge the returning of Tsitsipas, and he's probably going to be at the net before Steph really has a chance to use his athleticism advantage from the baseline. So I think tactically, Struff is going to, you know, bring what it takes. Now the question is, if Tsitsipas hits his spots on serve, you know, where, you know, how, and Struff can't land aggressive returns, how the heck does he break serve? And the answer to that is, I don't really know. But, you know, if Tsitsipas doesn't have a good serving day, look out. And I think it could be a close matchup, and I think Struff is highly entertaining. I love watching him, particularly on clay. So this to me is an early popcorn match. I will give some respect to his first round opponent because he does need to beat Pedro Kachin if he wants to play Stefanos Tsitsipas. Kachin, who defends his backhand really, really well, as we saw against Nadal. I think Struff will win that. Let's go to the quarterfinal prediction here. I got Stefanos Tsitsipas defeating Matteo Arnaldi. So I do have Arnaldi taking advantage of what I see as a very soft section in the on the bottom half of this quarter. I do think that this section, however, has a chance to really break down and get kind of crazy. If Berrettini had a decent preparation, so he's had some sort of illness that it sounds like has been really bad. If he had a decent preparation, I was going to pick him to make the semifinal because, you know, I've always felt like with Berrettini, it's going to happen pretty suddenly and quickly when you don't expect it. Because I think he's played pretty close to his level when he's actually been healthy out on the court. But it sounds like he's just been way too sick and isn't really prepared to play. So, you know, that's why I go with Arnaldi out of the bottom. Runner up there was probably Hugo Humbert. If I didn't go with Arnaldi, I would have went with Hugo. Now let's address the elephant in the room. I mean, I'm kind of worried about the Bedosa development with Tsitsipas. I'm not going to lie. I mean, tennis players, they're human beings. And that was a serious relationship, you know? Steph, it might have been the most serious relationship he's ever been in. I mean, I certainly don't recall a consistent female presence in Tsitsipas' box. His mental spirits after a breakup like that, like, that's a concern, you know? And these are the kinds of things that usually happen behind the scenes. We never learn about them. And as a result, like, we don't make predictions based on breakups, but that's usually because we don't know that they happened. Lorenzo Musetti, actually, I don't know if it was last year or the year before, had a breakup, had a big losing streak, and I remember he said, like, yeah, like, I've just been super bummed and it's been killing me. This happens and that's a concern. But hey, Stefanos, 3-time semifinal or better in Rome, already showed good stuff this clay season. Really weak quarter despite the tough potential second round but first match against Jan-Lennard Struff. So I just don't know where else to go if not Tsitsipas. Let's go to Medvedev's quarter. Last but not least, the defending champion, the number 2 seed. He's got Hurkacz, Runa, Paul, Baez, Tiafoe, Echeverry, and ADF. My dark horse here is Rafael Nadal. My upset alert, I put 2, Holger Rune, Sebastian Baez. And my early popcorn is Medvedev versus the winner of Draper and Čorić. So let us start with the king of clay, Rafael Nadal. You guys know that I've liked his tennis all year long. And I've just felt like it was a matter of A, obviously taking the court healthy, but B, how long he could play his level before breaking down physically, which has, you know, clearly there is a massive improvement from Barcelona to Madrid, and I expect it to just keep getting better. He's going to keep getting stronger. He's going to keep getting more confident in his body as it continues to respond positively to the match play, as long as there are no setbacks. This is going to be the first time that he plays 3 events in a row since 2021. And it was the same stretch back then. It was Barcelona, Madrid, Rome. But it has been a really long time since he's built some momentum and played back-to-back weeks, which is great. Even though, I mean, some of it is by choice. I mean, he was healthy the first half of 2022 for the most part. And well, you know, like, honestly, he wasn't even that healthy for the first half of 2022. He just won when everything he played. Okay. Anyway, Rome, obviously, historical success. 10-time champion, 3 times since 2018. That's all I have to say. Rafael Nadal, freaking dark horse. All right, upset alert. My main one is Runa. I threw Baez in there, but I really just meant to say Runa, and I think I might have written down Baez because I I couldn't decide between the two. I mean, look, Baez, I'll make the argument for him real quick. He's a confidence player who's lost four out of his last five, and he's got to play Sonego or Lajovic first match. You know, both veterans, tough guys. So, Runa, look, this is a lot of pressure to defend finalist points for a young player who's been struggling compared to his own expectations, especially if he's measuring it up to what he did last year, which I'm certain he is. So mentally, it's not easy to deal with. Like, he's still a young guy who hasn't really shown, like, Yannick Sinner-esque maturity at this stage in his career. So I think he's in a tough spot. You know, statistically, there's a couple things jumping out. I mean, he's 43rd among top 50 players this year in break rate. Last year for the season, he was 24th. So, you know, he was average at breaking serve last year, but, you know, he was above average in holding. And, you know, this year it's more like he's average in holding, but he's way below average in breaking serve. You know, 43rd is shocking. And that's not what I'm looking for on the slow clay. I'm looking for someone whose approach when it comes to returning and winning baseline rallies is working, and his right now isn't. The serve is not going to be big enough to make up for that. And, you know, like, you think back to the tournaments where he's had a lot of success. Like, I'm thinking about Brisbane. Start of the year, Runa played great. But a lot of it was about his serving and his plus one play. So, at no point is he really, like, grinding out baseline rallies and winning them like he was last year. He gets the winner of Daniel Altmaier, who's pretty awesome on clay, and Luca Nardi, who would have a hostile pro-Italian crowd and, you know, has a big forehand, obviously brings some good things to the table. That's why Rune is on upset alert. Could have gone to Neil Medvedev as well because of the injury concern. That was another option. But instead, I made Medvedev my early popcorn because he will play the winner of Jack Draper and Borna Coric. Those two will play in the first round. Let me say this. Like, I did not like the look of Medvedev's injury at all. You know, it was a hip thing. He really couldn't run. I've never seen someone retire the way Medvedev retired. He basically wasn't running during the match, right? And then I think he lost the first set. And after losing the first set, he was like, all right, like, I'm gonna just run a sprint right now. So he sprints to the net. And then he was like, okay, ow, that hurt. Now I'll retire. I've never seen that in my life. Like, classic Medvedev, honestly. But I'm sure, like, if an MRI shows that he has a tear, then he'll pull out. Or he would have pulled out already. I don't know what the timing of the MRI would be. But at the same time, like, I don't love a hip injury where you can't run at all. Just saying. Coric hasn't had a win that I feel super, like, good about in a while. So I do favor Draper to get through. Jack, if he plays Medvedev, I still feel like his forehand is a little underpowered on the clay, but he's going to dig in physically with Medvedev, which usually is not a great way to play Daniil Medvedev. Like, normally Daniil kind of likes that, and you're almost entering his element. So it usually might not be smart, but, like, if Daniil's prep has been compromised, it could work. Draper also, by the way, working with Wayne Ferreira, is bringing in Wayne Ferreira as a consultant, which I'm very happy to see. And if that is news to you, it wouldn't be news to you if you just subscribe to The Draw, my newsletter where I curate all the best tennis content on the internet every week, because I had the Draper Wayne Ferreira news. Sometimes I like to put stuff in that I think is interesting and important, but has kind of flown under the radar. And, you know, me and my partner Ben with that. And that was in this week's edition of The Draw, which comes out every Tuesday morning. And the link to subscribe is in the description. And you can go to thedraw.tennis to subscribe. And that's my early popcorn. Let's go to the quarterfinal predictions here in Daniil Medvedev's quarter. I have Tommy Paul defeating Rafael Nadal. Yeah. Again, weird pick. I'll be the first to say it. Weird pick. Ultimately, it again comes down to the draw. I don't have confidence in Medvedev because I'm concerned about that injury. You have Davidovich Fokina here. You have Francis Tiafoe here. I like Tommy Paul better than both of them. Now, you know, this is his second tournament back after rolling the ankle. He was playing awesome tennis before the ankle roll, including on one of the, you know, slowest courts we have on circuit in Indian Wells. He moves well on the clay. The forehand for him has been an issue on this surface, and he's had trouble generating offense. But, it, you know, from what I saw in Madrid, he's in good physical condition. Like, he's ready to run corner to corner and do some grinding on this clay. And I think that might be enough. Again, like, unseeded guys. Yeah, in the Medvedev section, you have Alexei Popperin, you have Hamad Medvedevich, you have Jack Draper. I like all those guys. But in Tommy Paul's section, you know, his first match, Mackie McDonald or Aslan Karatsev, you know, other than Karatsev having a match where he's, you know, making balls, I like that. So I just like the draw, the path for him to get to the quarterfinal. You know, Nadal, here's the situation for Rafa. Zizou Berks in the first round, and then Hubert Hurkacz. Rafa's a great returner on clay. Like, if Hurkacz expects to, you know, serve Nadal off the court, like, I think Nadal's too skilled to let that happen. I think the serve is going to come back. And, like, when Hurkacz gets stuck on the baseline in clay, it's trouble. So I think Nadal's going to beat Hurkacz. And, you know, then you have for Rafa, you have Holger, who I've made my feelings known about. You have Sebastian Baez, who I've made my feelings known about. You have Tomas Martin Echeverry, who kind of struggles to punch up above his weight. That's why I have Rafa in the quarters. And, you know, then it comes down to who do I feel more comfortable picking to a semifinal, Nadal or Tommy? And this is where I really struggled. You know, I still don't fully trust Nadal physically. Like, I'll say that. I trust Tommy more physically. I think that Paul is would in this matchup, hypothetically, would return extremely aggressively on his backhand and would try to take advantage of the way Rafa's serving right now. And I think he, you know, he defends his backhand really well, Tommy does, which is always important against Nadal. Do I think that Rafa could overpower him from the baseline? Yeah. But I don't know, something about picking Nadal to the semifinals here in Rome felt a little bit overly ambitious to me. And I'm just going with the player who is playing awesome tennis before an injury, who is not clay adverse when his forehand is good. Going with Tommy Paul. So I'm going to go to the final weekend prediction. And then I'm going to address another elephant in the room. Okay. First, let's reveal the final weekend. Okay. I have Djokovic defeating Taylor Fritz in two sets. I have Tsitsipas defeating Tommy Paul in three sets. I have Djokovic defeating Stefanos Tsitsipas in three sets and winning Rome once again. Explanations in a moment, but I think you guys deserve to know where I stand on Americans. Because whenever I pick Americans to do things that maybe are, you know, it's a bold prediction. Like, I'll be the first to admit it's a bold prediction and it's in favor of an American. And whenever that happens, it's like, well, Gil's biased. He's American. So let me just like clear the air and tell you exactly where I stand here. I like it when Americans do well because it makes my country more interested in tennis. And I like that. All right. Full stop. At the same time, I don't care nearly enough to let wishful thinking get in the way of trying to make correct predictions, which is ultimately what I'm trying to do here. Trust me, I do not care that much. I am not rooting for Americans so hard that it is like skewing my predictions. Not even close. I like it when they do well. I think it's good for American tennis, and you know, it's even good for my show, honestly. But believe me, I don't care that much that I'm letting wishful thinking get in the way of making predictions. So if you want to call me biased, do it. But, you know, that just means apparently I can never pick an American. Okay. Other than that, Tsitsipas, as I said, this scares me a lot, but he's a way better clay court player than everyone I have him playing up until Djokovic. Simple as that. He's way better than everybody. So is he going to get upset? I don't know. But the draw, I have the draw really opening up for him. I think the winner of Rome is going to come out of a Djokovic versus Ruud quarterfinal. That's my opinion. Kind of stinks for me because, you know, if Ruud wins and then he wins, you know, it's going to not help me, but at least I'm going on the record and I'm saying that. I think I was kind of between Djokovic and Ruud here and they ended up in the same quarter. That's how the cookie crumbled. Ultimately, I think for Djokovic, this is a shut up the doubters tournament. I don't think there's tons of convincing evidence that he's done contending right now. You can kind of go back to the video that I did after Indian Wells and during Miami. If you really want my full stance on the state of Novak Djokovic, it's certainly been a tough year, but I think he turns it around right here. Hope you enjoyed. Don't forget to subscribe. I'll see you next time.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.